Matthew chapter 12, I had not planned on preaching one of the questions that Christ asked people, and I was just going to preach on this passage, and then, sure enough, there's a question or two that he asked of the Pharisees in this section. So, let's read chapter 12, verses 9 through 13. It says, "And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days, that they might accuse him? And he said unto them, What man shall there be among you that shall have one sheep, and if it falls into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Then he saith he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole, like as the other. And the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, how they might destroy him." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for allowing us to be in your house, and we thank you for the faithfulness of your people. And we thank you that although Jesus called us his sheep, metaphorically, he points out that we are much, much more valuable than something like that. We just ask that you would set our hearts that we would do good, that we would honor you by being a blessing and a help to others. We ask that you would help me to preach your word tonight. Give me the words to say. Forgive me of my sins and just enable me to hit all the points exactly how you would have me hit them. All these things we ask in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.
Amen.
Jesus basically asked the question. He asked several questions, but it came down to this. Is there a bad time to do good? Is there a bad time to do good? And obviously the answer is no. All right, you're dismissed. These men, these Pharisees, they were so caught up in their doctrine. They were so caught up in their piety. They were so caught up in their hatred for Jesus that they were willing to let this man suffer. That he would be proven wrong. They were willing to let this man suffer rather than to have one of their doctrines broken. Now, I understand this doctrine is one of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. But they didn't understand the meaning of that doctrine. Keeping it holy does not necessarily mean not helping someone. It doesn't mean not doing what is good, what is right, no matter what day it is, no matter what time it is. When my kids were little, there used to be a cartoon on. And it was one of those ones where the kids would watch it because it was a cartoon and there were funny, silly things going on. But at the same time, there were some things that adults could get too. And the show was called Eekstravaganza. And the main character was Eek the Cat. And I started watching it. Brenda kind of got hooked on it after a while. But one thing he often said, now he was someone who went around trying to help people. And he would always say this phrase, it never hurts to help. It never hurts to help. This was not a Christian cartoon. But what a Christian thought that is. It never hurts to help. We should seek to help whenever possible. We should look for opportunities, as a matter of fact, to help. Now Jesus, in doing what he did, And I was kind of afraid as I would be misunderstood in preaching this sermon and some of the things. So I'm going to say out front, Jesus was not compromising God's word. Jesus is God's word. He was not compromising God's word. He was not breaking God's word. He was not diminishing any of the doctrines that God the Father has given us. He was just giving greater understanding. And it's always good to see how we got to the point we are in the scriptures when we study these things. Now, prior to verse 9, we read about the disciples. They were plucking and eating corn on the Sabbath day, and the Pharisees criticized them. So Jesus went straight to the synagogue to address that criticism because Jesus, and I'm going to make an assumption here, Jesus knew the man with the withered hand was there. And I guess it shouldn't be an assumption because Jesus knew everything. But I think that was his purpose of going to the synagogue right at that time. Number one, he wanted to teach a lesson. And number two, he wanted to help this man. He wanted to help this man. He wasn't just using this man to teach a lesson. He wasn't just using this man to put the Pharisees in his place. He legitimately cared about this man. Now, you can do the right thing for the wrong reasons sometimes. Sometimes people do things for you because they want to look good. But it's still a good thing that they've done something for somebody. It's just they won't get credit for it. They won't get rewarded for that. So he went to where this man was. We talked about that in the parable this morning, how Jesus went to where we were. By the way, I didn't mention this. I studied this morning, but we talked about how the Samaritans had a bad reputation. A bad connotation when people talked about Samaritans back in the days of the Bible. And now, when we think of the Samaritan, we always talk about someone who did good. And how Jesus was the Samaritan in that story. But you know, in the previous chapter before that, they went into Samaria and there was a town there that sent them away. They didn't want anything to do with it. Jesus didn't stop that. Or didn't you? That didn't stop Jesus from using them as an example. I want to point out first the infirmity that man had. The infirmity that man had. Now it says he went to their synagogue there in verse 9. They were worried about the law. They were worried about things like that. So he went to their synagogue where they studied, where they taught. And behold, there was a man that had a withered hand. And they asked him, saying, "Is it lawful to heal him, to heal on the Sabbath days?" That they might accuse him. Now, I'm assuming it was their synagogue. This man probably was there every Sabbath day. Maybe some other days. They probably saw this man for years. Yet they had no compassion for him. They probably saw how he struggled over the years, yet they had no compassion for him. He lived in their area, and perhaps he was unable to work or maybe not support himself well. But they had no compassion for this man. Jesus went to where he was, and he went that he might heal him. We are taught by our infirmities. You know, Paul speaks about his infirmities. He talked about the thorn in the flesh. And then he gloried in that. We have our infirmities that we might realize we are powerless. That we are dependent upon God. The song that I just sang, or tried to sing, it was about the storms that we have. We are dependent on God when we have storms in our life. We are dependent upon God when we have physical infirmities. We are dependent upon God when we have financial infirmities, when we have problems in our households, when we have problems where we go. We are dependent upon God. And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing at all, as a matter of fact. We are taught by our infirmities, but He is touched by our infirmities. Hebrews 4:15 says, we have a high priest who is touched by our infirmities, who makes intercession for us. The teaching that we have from our infirmities is that we are powerless. But being touched by our infirmities shows that we are also precious. Sometimes we classify these things as kids songs, but we as adults need to remember these things we were taught. The reason why we're taught these as youths is because those are lessons we need to learn. We need to learn about the wise man building his house upon the rock, building our house upon Jesus. The foolishness of building our house upon the sand, upon building it upon the world, how foolish that is. But whether we sing those songs and we forget to sing them as we're older. Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in His sight. Now we were listening, I guess it was, you had it on the internet not too long ago, playing Bible songs for Kyrie. And they change it from red and yellow, black and white to what? Red, brown, yellow, black and white. They took the "and" out. They wanted to include everyone. But God's people were precious to Him. Because we are He is touched by our infirmities, we are transformed from our infirmities. As a matter of fact, even those things that hinder us, we can glory in because we understand that God is using those things. We read of that infirmity that he had, but then there was an inquiry that the Pharisees had. It's funny, they saw the disciples out. They had an issue with them plucking ears of corn and eating them, or at least plucking them, and maybe they were to eat them later, but plucking them on the Sabbath day. And Jesus confronted them and showed where they were wrong. And then he proceeded on to the synagogue with them. And they see this man with a withered hand, and they knew who Jesus was. At least they knew that he was a healer. They knew that he went about doing good. I believe that they knew he was the Son of God, which is a scary thing. That they knew that he was the Son of God, and yet they opposed him. So they ask him a question that they might accuse him. Same place we were this morning in our sermon. The lawyer asked that he might attempt and that he might tempt Jesus, that he might find fault in what he said. They were trying to find fault in Jesus. For over 2,000 years, people have been trying to find fault with Jesus, and they can't. They'll make up things, but the people that accused him when he was at trial could do nothing but lie about him, twist the truth. So here this man is, as I said, he suffered for years. They'd seen him for years. They knew, perhaps even knew his name. Perhaps even knew his family, knew all about him, knew about his situation. But they cared more about their doctrine than this man. Now once again, they based their doctrine on a misunderstanding of the Word of God. See, the Sabbath was never given that we might be hindered. The Sabbath was never given that they wouldn't be able to do good. The Sabbath was given that they would rest and that they would take time to reflect and worship God. He said there was never a wrong time to do good. It's just working for the sake of working, working for profit, working for filthy lucre, working for the love of money is the issue. Matter of fact, verse 5 there, he talks about how the priest would work on the Sabbath. There were things that needed to be done on the Sabbath. Then we see he gives insight. He told them about the purpose of the Sabbath. The Sabbath was given as a help to man, not as a hindrance to man. The Sabbath was to be a blessing, not a curse. We see the purpose of the Sabbath, and he uses the example of the pit and the sheep. The pit and the sheep. They apparently value their sheep. But they didn't value this pitiful man. They didn't contradict him, did they? Said if you had a sheep in the pit, wouldn't you get him out on the Sabbath? Now these guys were liars. They could have easily said, no, we would have waited to the next day. Even this man, they can say, what would have hurt you to wait another day to heal this man? It would have defeated the whole purpose of his lesson, is what it would have done. Then we see the point of the Savior. The point of the Savior is people need our help. People need our help. Remember what he said to the lawyer that we talked about this morning? He said, now go and do likewise. If we can't be a blessing to other people, especially to those out in the world, how are they ever going to see Jesus? One of the greatest hindrances to people seeing Jesus is those that profess to know Him but don't exemplify Him. Those that give a distorted view. Now here's the point I made earlier, but I want to make sure I got it, I said early. He was not compromising on the Word of God. He was compassionate in the work of God. We are never to compromise the Word of God. We can't pick and choose, okay, we're going to follow the Word here, but it's beneficial, and it's never beneficial, by the way, not to keep the Word of God, not to obey the Word of God. It is always harmful to us and to those around us, and even the very ones we would seek to help when we compromise on the Word of God. There was an example years ago. I don't know if any of you remember this. There was a... One of my coworkers was working evening night shift / on Sunday night. And I got a call from my boss, or a text, I guess it was. And they said that there was their father was very sick, and he was in the hospital there in Barberville, and I think they were talking about putting him on a respirator, and they needed someone. And I was like, well, tonight's, you know, church night, you know, but if you can get someone to cover until after church, then I'll come in and work the rest of the shift. And then I thought, you know, here's someone in a serious condition. Their father is being put on a rest ventilator. By the way, he never went on the ventilator, and he went home the next day. But in any event, I said, you know, and this is the only time I've ever said this, that, okay, if I have to, I will cancel church tonight. I'm not saying that because I'm trying to say, okay, be like me. But I guess, you know, we should live in a way where we can say, be like me. I've preached that sermon before. We should live in a way where people should be like us. But the point I'm trying to make is, you know, we preach so much about how important it is to do these things, but if we're not working in people's lives, if we're not helping people, as we said this morning, we're just sounding brass. We're making a lot of noise. Then we see his intervention. He didn't just expound, he executed. I know I'm the only one here that's guilty of this, but sometimes we get pompous and we expound on these things and what's right and what we should do and how, you know, and then we don't execute. We don't practice what we preach. We say, oh, we should love everyone. We don't love everyone. Oh, we should help people. Well, we pass up opportunities to help people. We should preach the gospel to every creature. And then we don't preach the gospel to every creature. Bill O'Reilly, when he... Is it Bill O'Reilly? Is that his name, O'Reilly? When he used to be on Fox Network, he used to have these words that he liked to use. One was bloviate. We bloviate. And we pompously say these things, but we don't live. Jesus didn't just expound upon doing right. He did right. He wasn't concerned about their opinions. He wasn't concerned about what will they say about me if I do the right thing. Sometimes we do the wrong thing, or we do things secretly because we're worried about someone's opinion. Jesus went out of his way to do this in front of them. The bottom line, the man with the withered hand was healed. And I honestly believe that everyone that Jesus healed became a believer. He didn't just heal them physically. I believe that he healed them spiritually. I believe that his intervention in their life had changed them physically, spiritually. What good would it do if he would heal his hand and then he'd be cast with that hand into hell? What good would it be if Jesus healed the blind and then they died and went to hell? I believe Jesus is more concerned about our eternal souls than our physical bodies. Amen. And if he cared enough to heal his hand, I believe he cared enough about this man to save him from his sins. We read that in John. With the blind man. He said, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I know that once I was blind and now I see. He was in the synagogue worshiping God. And when Jesus came in and caught him there, he said, I want to follow you. But Jesus had another plan. He needed someone there in that town to be his witness. It would be nice if my next point was in the Pharisees, when they saw what he did and heard what he said, that they changed. But no, the next point is indignation. We see their indignation. They were offended. They sought, it said, from that point, they had counsel on how they would destroy him. If we get so caught up in our cold doctrine and not in caring about people, if we can look at doctrine and not see that God gave us these things because he loved us and not to restrict us, we're going to be filled with indignation. We're going to be offended constantly. When we see someone do good, we're going to be upset. Now, I've spent the last several minutes answering the question we already answered when we first started. Is there a bad time to do good? No, there's not. But let's not just bloviate about that. Let's not just expound upon that. Let's not just agree and shake our heads and nod. Let's do it. Let's do it. Let's help us. Help others, rather, around us. Let's be a blessing. Let's be a light. Let them see Jesus in us. Would you stand?